The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to mention one of the most, if not the most, heartbreaking divorce scenarios. It's parental alienation, when one parent tries to destroy the relationship of their children with their ex and or get that person completely out of the picture. Fortunately, Jenna Noble and Monique Mason have dedicated their careers to helping people reunite with their children who are victims of parental alienation. The name of their company is Pathways Family Coaching, and they are just wonderful. If you want to learn more about Pathways, you can find them at pathwaysfamilycoaching.com, or you can find them in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. I also want to talk about a wonderful divorce attorney in New Jersey. His name is Jason Tuckman, and he is with Kelly, Murata, and Tuckman. Jason was 5 years old when his parents divorced, and he remembers it as being a traumatic experience. It was that experience that led him to his career today. He's been a divorce attorney for over 20 years and believes he can help people in one of the most difficult times of their lives. If you want to learn more about Jason, you can find him on the website of Kelly, Murata, and Tuckman, or you can find him in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. So today I want to talk about parenting plans. If you are listening to this and you're thinking about getting divorced, or you're going through one, or you're in mediation, or you're litigating and you're trying to come up with a parenting plan, we all know it's not easy. It can feel like maybe you're not seeing your kids enough. You don't know if it's going to work with your work schedule. It's very, very stressful. And I think it takes a lot of time and a lot of changes to come up with a good parenting plan. But what happens when you're trying to come up with a parenting plan for a child or children with special needs? That's what I want to talk about today, because it's a very different looking thing. And to talk about this with me today is divorce mediator Eric Feig. Eric is a veteran attorney turned mediator. He's also a certified co-parenting specialist. He's a disability-informed professional, and he's the founder of Feig Mediation Group, and he has 3 neurodiverse children. So Eric, thanks so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm glad to be here.
So this was Eric's idea as far as this podcast. I never even thought of it because I am not in that space. But believe it or not, there are so many people looking for information about this. And Eric, that's why I love that you brought this to me. So tell me about that. Are there a lot of families with neurodiverse and special needs children who are going to need, is it much more common than we think?
I think it is more common than we would think. And there's a need out there, I believe, and from the families I've worked with that I've seen, for taking an approach when you have kids that are more complicated in your family, taking an approach that deals with those aspects directly. There's additional concerns. There's additional fears. There's additional stress. Look, divorce is stressful enough as it is for everybody. It's a transition. It's a change. It's important. When you have kids that have additional challenges, it only is more so.
So tell me, what is different about a parenting plan of kids who are not neurodiverse and a parenting plan where there are neurodiverse kids? What's taken into consideration?
It's woven throughout the parenting plan, the differences. And when we say differences, it's taking many of the same issues that we would deal with in any parenting plan. How we communicate with each other as parents, how we make decisions as parents, how we're going to spend time with the kids and how the kids will spend time with us, managing all of the logistics. Taking it to the next level is when you have kids with additional needs, all of those issues and others take on a heightened level of concern and detail is needed. So how you communicate may also need to deal with the fact that you're not just communicating about the general, you're communicating as well about all of their supports, social, emotional, educational, academic. You might need to make decisions about medical issues more frequently, medication, support, therapies, therapeutics, things of that nature. How you spend time, looking for that consistency, that predictability for kids in general that we're always going to look for when you're talking about children with additional challenges. They may have more sensitivity to change and to transition. So how you, when you're apart as parents, going to cooperate with each other to give them that predictability, all of that.
Okay, let's talk about this. Tell me how the kids have a harder time changing. What is it about a special needs or neurodiverse child? Because every kid has a problem with the change, but what's different?
I'm going to speak very generally, because when we're talking about kids that are neurodivergent or kids that have needs, everyone is going to be unique. Every family, every situation is going to be unique and different. But when we're talking about even the parenting plans, we're talking about very customized discussions, even more. And then again, I'll say as much, if not more so, than we would do with any family. Take a very customized approach to their situation. For many kids that are neurodiverse, transitions and change are just more difficult. They just are. And being able to, and their anxiety, their stress, sometimes their inflexibility or their ability to engage in flexible thinking is more of a challenge. So when we're talking about a transition like divorce, which again itself is a big, big change in how things were relative to how they're going to be, there's often among the parents that greater concern about how do we get from here to there and do it in a way where we're doing the least harm to our kids along the way. So it may be that the approach takes longer for some. Others, it might be different steps. There might be, everybody will have different ideas, but being able to have that conversation in mediation in a setting where you can have the discussion, flesh out these issues, flesh out the concerns, put what you need to on the table, and then be able to say, okay, now how do we do this? And how do we get to where we're going and put all of this together in a way that works for everybody? I think is so important.
Now, Eric, how about, I'm going to take what you said about change being so much more difficult for these kids. So let's just break it down here. So would you say that in a parenting plan for a neurodiverse child, maybe there would be less transitioning back and forth? You know, that might be a consideration. Or maybe, you know, they would even just live with the one parent. Like, tell me about some of the solutions that are different than a regular parenting plan.
It can be a much deeper discussion about all of that. For some, it might be that there's fewer transitions. For others, it might be, how do we establish the new routine? So how do we do it in steps so that we get from where we are now to what the new routine is? It might take longer. Might take more involvement, might take more bringing them along and seeing how they're doing and checking in with each other and checking in with the kids along the way to see how it's going. So there's lots of ways to be able to solve it. And like I said, every family, every kid is going to have a different need in terms of how that approach goes. But being able to attend to that sensitivity and separate out what's going on, let's say, between the parents from being able to help them focus and stay focused, keep that lens on the kids and be able to say, okay, what they need, that's what we should be talking about. That's what we need to be talking about is so crucial. But there is no such thing as a one size fits all. And I'll say in a forum like mediation, compared to the more adversarial process, what you can do there is you can think out loud with each other. You could try things out. You can iterate ideas. You could say, you know what, I like this piece, then what do you think about this? And do it all with support, of course. But it's not the pushing and pulling that you would have where you're making offers to each other in a way where you're trying to find the middle. The middle might be somewhere that you haven't thought of when you go in.
You know what? You make such a good point, because litigation, I would think, would almost be impossible to somebody with special needs kids. I mean, how can you not have these conversations? And I have to believe, as angry as parents are with each other, these are cases that you just have to try to communicate. And what I love about mediation is that you learn how to communicate in those sessions. And it's going to carry over into the post-divorce life. It's not just going to be like we have to force ourselves to talk until we're divorced. I think what people end up learning in mediation is that we can do this on our own after, long after we're done with mediation and we're divorced. You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm here today with divorce mediator Eric Feig. Eric is a co-parenting specialist, a disability-informed professional, and the founder of Feig Mediation Group. And Eric and I are talking about parenting plans for kids with special needs. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about what he tells parents who are really worried about this and what to think about when you're coming up with your parenting plan. We'll be right back. One of the most stressful aspects of getting divorced is feeling like your spouse might be hiding money. To hire a forensic accountant or have your divorce attorney do that can cost tens of thousands of dollars. And a lot of people either can't afford that or they don't think it's worth it because it's so costly. Well, guess what? The Divorce Money Guide has you covered. Developed by well-known forensic accountant Tracy Conan, the Divorce Money Guide is a tool to help you find out if your ex is hiding money. It's a 10-step handbook that walks you through what to do to find the money. And you walk away either with a complete sense of relief because you can now know that your ex isn't hiding money, or you walk away with proof you can give to your attorney who can now take action to make sure your divorce is fair and equitable. If you want to learn more about the Divorce Money Guide, visit divorcemoneyguide.com/divorce. I also want to take a minute and talk about a wonderful divorce firm in Texas. The name of the firm is Varghese Somerset Family Law, and it is headed up by Turner Thornton, a highly regarded Fort Worth family law attorney, and seven other divorce attorneys. They are wonderful, well-respected, well-known, and they handle a lot of child custody disputes, property division, and contentious, complex cases in the legal system. You can find Varghese Somerset Family Law Group at familytexas.com. And you can find both the Divorce Money Guide and Varghese Somerset in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. We are talking today about parenting plans for kids who are neurodiverse. And I'm here with divorce mediator Eric Feig, who has a specialty in this niche and who has three neurodiverse children himself. Love this conversation, Eric. This is really important. And I think there's a lot of people listening that are very comforted by this, knowing that there's somebody out there that has a niche in this and who understands them. Because I know I don't have special needs kids, but I have other things. And when I find somebody who specializes in something that I felt like I was very alone and not a lot of people have, it makes me feel really good when I know somebody has dedicated their career to having a niche in that.
Thank you, Jackie. And I can pick up on something you were saying before we hit the break, which is I think it's so important. Very often when people will come to me in mediation, they feel they're feeling almost hopeless about the idea of being able to agree on anything, right? If it's raining outside, they might feel like they can't even agree on whether the water is wet. And how can we ever get to that point? When you are doing that in a situation where you're worried about your children and their future, I think that's all parents. When you're worried about kids that are have additional complications and additional challenges, there's a baseline level of stress and anxiety there that also plays into the mix. And being able to work with people and work with a team, people who have kids with needs, I think we all know that it takes a team approach to meet their needs. There's not necessarily one person or one support. We're scaffolding around them to give them what they need and to make sure they get what they need. Being able to talk through a parenting plan, and then over time, as their needs change, because as they get older, as they develop, or as things change with them or with you as the parents, as that changes, to be able to have a means to go back and have that conversation to say what's working, what needs to be updated or refreshed, or what's changed, right? Or what do we need to change to keep all of this on track, I think is so important. And my hope, part of my mission, is to have more people thinking that way, to think of a parenting plan as something that is a living and breathing structure and support for the long term.
And when you say living, breathing, you mean like ever changing. It's changing all the time, and that's okay. You just have to have the ability to communicate as co-parents to make those changes and really put the kids first and put your feelings aside, which isn't easy to do, but mediation teaches you these skills.
It's an opportunity to create a foundation, and to create a foundation where even when it's hard, you cooperate with each other. And keep that lens on what the kids need and deal differently, perhaps, with what's going on between the parents. You asked before, again, what are things that are different? One of the aspects to think about when you have a child with additional needs is their needs don't necessarily end when they reach the age of majority. There are many families that are looking at lifelong care or lifelong supports or lifelong needs. Being able, again, to think about the short term, the medium term, long term, and say, you know what, we'll deal with what's in front of us, we'll deal with what we can do, and we're going to set up a process. Again, many will come in, and this is how they think, is we'll try to set up something so that later we can continue to give them what they need.
So, Eric, what are some of the things that people should think about when they are setting up parenting plans for special needs kids?
I'd say being able to communicate is crucial. And when I say communicate, it's being able to keep up with what's going on, regardless of where your child is staying. Being able to keep each other up to date, let each other know what's going on when they go for, let's say, if they go for a therapeutic support, or maybe they go for an academic support, and you get feedback, to be able to do all of those communications. When decisions need to be made, to be able to communicate, respond with each other, and when you disagree, find ways to bridge the gap. And that could mean doing it directly, that could mean reaching out to supports for yourselves. I think we do a wonderful job now relative to where we were in the past of having supports that are available for our kid. And we have many supports that help us for our kids, but we don't have so many. This is a big part of why I do what I do in mediation. We don't have so many resources that are available when we, as the parents, disagree with each other to help us bridge the gap. So putting all of that in place and thinking about the inventory of what are the logistics we're going to have to deal with, and how do we back each other up? How do we have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, plan D, however many we need in order to make sure they are getting what they need?
Okay. Do you think that a lot of parents, when they're coming up with their parenting plan, they're so worried, right? Like, I could imagine a mom saying, I don't know, I've always been better with so-and-so than the husband. And please, the second that came out of my mouth, I don't want people to think that I think women are better with special needs kids than men. That is not true. But let's say for either spouse, let's say one spouse is saying, I've always been better than the other spouse, so I want my child to live with me. And, you know, like, how, what do you tell these people? Don't they have just so much worry and fear and stress that I know everybody's worried about their kids, but it might take it to another level if they're special needs?
I think the anxiety and stress often is taken to another level. Like I said, there's a baseline there that's every day you wake up. I'll say, as a parent myself of kids that are complicated, wake up every day hoping for a good day. And this was, like, I could remember this many, many times. I'm hoping for a good day, but I'm already bracing myself. When I get out of bed, what are we going to be dealing with the kids? What's going to happen? So that, just as a baseline, is difficult.
And that's not being negative. That's just being realistic. You're not even saying it in a negative way. It's just what it is. You know, I mean, right?
That you're exactly right. It just, at that point, it's experience. It's just how it is. And being able to help, I don't tell parents what to do. But what I do is I help them have that conversation where they could hear each other, be heard, get what they need to on the table. And maybe it is a conversation, to take your point, Jackie, about where each of their strengths are, right? It's still a team effort, even if they're apart. They're still both going to be the parents. In some way or another, they're going to be involved, generally speaking. So it's who's going to have lead is often a conversation. Who's going to be the support? Who might be the first line? Who might be the backup? Where they're going to spend time? That's something that they could work out. And like I said, sometimes those are longer discussions about how to make that work for everybody.
Well, Eric, I cannot think of anybody better. I'm serious. You are an amazing person, an amazing mediator, and would be wonderful for people trying to come up with a parenting plan and mediate their divorce if they have neurodiverse children. And not just neurodiverse children, anybody with children. So first, I want to tell my listeners, before we close out here, everybody with kids has fear and stress and anxiety when it comes to parenting plans. And Eric has said a couple times, well, there's a baseline. That is true. But please don't feel like you're alone, because even people who have kids, every kid has issues. It might not be neurodiverse, but there's other things. There's drug issues. I have a friend who got divorced. Her son has diabetes. And, you know, they had to manage, like, are you really sure you're going to give them the insulin on time? You know, like, there's always going to be something. So I just want the listeners to know, whether you're listening to this and you have neurodiverse kids or you don't, all kids have issues. And that's why I think that where all that fear and stress comes from. And Eric, you are wonderful when it comes to every situation with kids. So thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed this, and I think we're helping a lot of people.
Thank you for having me, Jackie. I'm so glad we were able to have this conversation.
And Eric, tell my listeners, if they want a consultation with you, where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me online. My website is feigmediationgroup.com, feigmediationgroup.com. Or you can call me at 301-485-9272 if you want to set up a consultation, ask questions, or just chat about your situation.
Well, thanks again, Eric. And to my listeners, Eric can also be found in the Divorced Girl Smiling Trusted Professional section, which is divorcedgirlsmiling.com. And if you want to listen to more podcasts or read articles or download my mobile app or sign up for my free consult, come see me at divorcegirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.